This is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on the program, except in this case it's occurred on a Sunday, is Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. Rob joins the program to discuss Atletico's 2-0 win over Sevilla at the Wanda Metropolitano on Saturday. That's two wins from two for Atleti in their new digs. And much like we've come to expect early on this season, Los Colchoneros doing all their damage in the second half with goals from Yannick Carrasco and Antoine Griezmann. We'll break down these standout individual performances. More rotations from Diego Simeone. He made five changes from the team that beat Athletic at San Mamés in midweek. We'll touch on the intriguing Sevilla project, which was dealt its first big blow on Saturday. And finally, we will preview the massive clash on Wednesday between Atletico and Chelsea in Madrid. It's going to be huge. Could decide Champions League Group C. Before we continue, you can subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat on your podcasting platform of choice. iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Please leave a rating and a review on iTunes. Helps Colt Gennaro Chat's visibility. Helps Colt Gennaro Chat get more listens by proxy. You can follow me, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron, J-B-B-E-R-E-N. And finally, head over to patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat if you're interested in becoming a patron, if you're interested in supporting the show. We've got a couple new patrons this week, so we'd like to keep that momentum rolling. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. You can learn about all the cool benefits that are inherent to being a patron. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. You sound like you're rustling through like a mountain of papers there.
Yeah, so get things all sorted out.
Some copious notes on yesterday's game.
Oh yes, have to have all the reports in front of me.
Yeah, internet is not working. Yes.
Huzzah. It can be a problem.
It stopped working at like 2 this morning, and I finally figured it out.
Well, good. Being without internet is a terrible thing.
Yeah, it's tough to live that way, and I have to suck all the data out of my phone.
Yeah, so. True. Well, I mean, there have been literally no interesting games today, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, Real Sociedad Valencia is on right now, and this is lit right here.
Is it really?
It's lit. It's 2-2, 64th minute. There have been some serious golazos in this game. So I'm watching that. And then Getafe beat the stuffing out of Villarreal today.
Yes, true. There are a lot of four goals.
Yes.
Three teams score four goals.
Like, Getafe winning 4-0 is something I never thought I'd see again.
No, and not against Villarreal, who I actually thought are probably better this season than last year.
Yeah, they're going to have to get rid of Fran Escriba.
Yeah, it's not going so well. Yeah,
they're going to need a new manager. But yeah, as far as the La Liga whip around goes, as far as our standard whip around goes, don't think we have enough games to do that today, as we are recording this on a Sunday instead of a Monday.
Yes, the Sunday rather than the Monday. It's better. It's fresher.
The Sunday and NFL football, Colt Gennaro Chat.
Are you ready for some La Liga?
Yes.
Question mark? Yeah.
It doesn't roll out quite off the tongue as much as, are you ready for some football, but
no.
It is real football.
And less Carrie Underwood-y.
Hey, don't be dissing Carrie Underwood, though.
I mean, you can't. What, she won, like, the first American Idol or something? You got to respect that for all time.
Respect that. Absolutely. So we have this game from yesterday that, yes, I was up early. I was doing the Facebook Live halftime analysis session at 4:52 a.m.,
You poor soul.
Because I am dedicated / insane.
So did you wake up or did you just not go to sleep?
I powered through it, man. I powered through it. I went to sleep after I filed my match report at about 6:30 a.m.
Well done.
Then went back to sleep, and then I got up. Then I went to meet some family for lunch. And yeah. And then I got a full night of sleep last night. So I'm rested now, despite the chaos that has been done to my normal routine.
You're a trooper. You know I am there.
I am. No one can question my dedication.
Certainly not.
But, you know, I thought it was kind of a strange game. It may have been a little bit because I was really tired and cranky. And watching Atletico dither about in the first half kind of, you know, upset me. But I thought it was a strange game, Rob. Would you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely. Obviously, my pain of waking up was 3 hours better than yours. Yeah. But even still, watching that first half, I kind of felt like I was watching a dream. Like, not a lot really happened. It was slow. And I was just like, man, this is not great right now. But, yes, I would say it was definitely very weird.
It was so slow. And I mentioned this during the Facebook Live thing at halftime. Lucas was making attacking runs, which was kind of where that was where things were in the first half. It's just where we were at. Lucas and Kraskor are like the two best players on the pitch.
Yeah, when Lucas Hernandez is fed up and making forward runs, you know that there's been a problem.
You know that there's been a breakdown somewhere.
Yes, exactly.
But, yeah, Atleti were pretty bad in the first half, but Sevilla were even worse.
Yeah.
So I guess that was the saving grace, was that Sevilla just – I'll talk about them in a minute, but they just could not work any openings. And I thought Atleti left a lot of space, particularly in the back, particularly on the wings. I mean, the way Atleti play, the way they're shaped defensively, there is usually space on the wings, but there was a lot of space to cross in or cut inside, more so than usual, and Sevilla just could not take advantage of those opportunities.
No, I mean, they didn't have very many opportunities in the whole game. I mean, they had two shots in the first half, and both were blocked, and they were both from way outside the box.
Yeah,
so
it was weird, because they have a lot of talent in this team, but they just, it's so weird. I mean, I have a theory that, you know, maybe Barrizo has been making a lot of rotations early this season, and I think that that has been a problem, because the players don't really know each other right now. They don't know the system very well.
Yep, new coach, some new players, and they're in the Champions League too, so there's a lot going on for them right now.
Yeah, and they had, for the game, they had over 60% possession and no shots on target.
Yeah, that's pretty damning. I mean, they did have most of the possession, but just couldn't do a thing with it.
Yeah, it is the second time in the last four league games, four or five? I think it's four, yeah. Second time in the last four league games that Atleti have held a team to no shots on target.
And, I mean, that's Diego Simeone's dream, is to have way less possession, but also not let the other team have a shot on target. I mean, that's perfect.
That is, like, the greatest dream you could ever have, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's when Atleti have been successful, is when they can do that.
And then, so that was the first half. It was pretty wretched. And then the second half started, and it was like a light switch went off, because 50 seconds in, here's Yannick Carrasco taking the ball off Steven Nzonzi, rounding Sergio Rico, making it 1-0.
Yeah, that was it certainly made the game a lot more watchable, that's for sure.
Yeah.
An ingenious ball from Luciano Vietto.
It was, you know, and I dragged him at halftime, because he was just, it was like watching him move through a swamp, you know. It was watching him try to get out of quicksand with the way he was playing, but he delivered a really nice ball that, and Zonzi actually got a foot on it, but Carrasco was like, whoop, excuse me, took it away from him, and then rounded Rico to slot in pretty easily. So, but Vietto made the pass, which I got to give him full credit for. Technically, you know, it's going to go down as an error on Nzonzi, but I give him an assist for that.
Yeah, I think so, because he certainly made it happen. And his performance was kind of like a typical 16-17 Angel Correa performance. Doesn't really do much, but then can come up with a really good pass. So, you know, he hasn't looked great this season. I don't think he's ever going to be anything hugely impressive, but, you know, that was a good pass.
It was a good moment for him, and it hopefully will do wonders for his confidence. He doesn't have any chemistry with Griezmann. He's kind of alone out there sometimes, but he is working really hard, and that's what is going to endear him to Simeone. And if nothing else, he allows you to rest Correa, because they're going to be relying on Correa a lot. He allows you some more flexibility with Gamero, who I think is still recovering from injury, and also is just not preferred by Simeone anyway. And having Vietto be at least, you know, adequate. Torres wasn't even in the team on Saturday, which was hard to imagine even a couple months ago.
The thing that was strange for me, I mean, Kevin Gamero just seemingly hasn't had much of a look at all. I mean, this was one of the first matches where I've seen him.
He's played two games this season for about 40 minutes.
I mean, I didn't expect him to just be totally out in the cold. I expected him not to play that much, but not this little.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much it is that Simeone is just taking really good care of him, or it's just that he's not preferred. I think it's more toward the latter right now. But Gamero, in particular, at the very end of the game, he tracked back, won the ball in his own box to start a counterattack. Which, that's Gamero doing that? Really? All right.
Yeah, that's kind of the game it was.
Let's go. And I will address that in a minute. But, yeah, you saw in the second half, Atleti just kind of a light switch, like, flipped on. And after the goal, I thought Atleti kind of went back to being kind of indifferent. Sevilla, again, had dangerous possession. Again, they had some space to work with, just not as much. Especially after Joaquin Correa came on. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah, he's looked good.
Yeah, he's an awesome player. He created a lot of dangerous set-piece opportunities, but nothing really dangerous. They had a scramble in the box, I think, a few minutes before Griezmann's goal that I think Koke cleared. It was right in front of Oblak, and if someone in a black shirt had been able to get a foot on it, it would have gone in. It would have been 1-1, but no one was. The closest Sevilla came was that it was when it hit the post, and it was with Savage nearly turning it into his own net.
Yeah, that was a classic right there.
It was a classic.
Savage almost scoring on goal.
It's classic 21 Savage. But that was really the closest Sevilla came, despite all this possession. And then Griezmann finished off a really beautiful, well-worked move about 20 minutes from time. Talk me through this goal, Rob. What happened here?
I really, really, really love this goal. Carrasco gets basically free in the box and then cuts it back into and sort of to nobody, and it's behind Griezmann, who just chucks himself off the ground two-footed and wins the ball. And then it gets to Felipe, who gets it back to him, and he scores. And just like that, it was 2-0. But that challenge Griezmann put in, I haven't seen a striker's challenge like that in quite some time.
Yeah, I didn't see it the first time I saw the goal, but Griezmann actually won it after Carrasco's pass missed everything.
I mean, both feet off the ground.
Yep.
And slams into the ball. I mean, if he had messed it up, he probably could have gotten sent off, realistically. But he didn't, so that's all good.
He didn't, and it bounced back out to Felipe, who gave it right back to Griezmann, and Sevilla's defense is just completely out of sorts here, thanks to that challenge that Griezmann put in. And lo and behold, it's a great finish, too. I think the finish on this goal was underrated. It's from a tight angle through the legs. It's a tough goal, and Griezmann finished it. That's now talking about a number nine's finish. That is a great finish.
Yeah, and there was quite a lot of power in that shot as well. I think that was the other part of it. The goalkeeper just had no chance because he fired it through his legs.
Yep, just a great goal. And that is now, out of the last 14 times Atleti and Sevilla have played, Atleti have won or taken points in 13 of those games.
And the win against Sevilla towards the back end of last year was also a big confidence-boosting win for Atletico. So when we played them, it's worked out the last couple times.
Yes, Eduardo Barrizo before the game saying Atleti and Sevilla are direct rivals. But based on how the last few seasons have gone, I'm not really buying that.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a stretch for them. No offense, but I mean, they sort of had a title challenge last year, but, I mean, they fell off not very close to the end.
I mean, all credit to Sevilla. I mean, this is obviously still early days, and Sevilla are a more than capable team domestically and in Europe. But you got to think, at this point, Atleti are closer to Barcelona and Real Madrid than they are to Sevilla, Villarreal, Valencia, etc.
Yes, I think that's true.
You just kind of have to think that. But, Barrizo trying to, amp up his team, who weren't really amped up. They really didn't play that well. I just didn't really see much here. But, again, I think it's a lot of it is that Barrizo's done a lot of rotations, and the system still isn't really set in stone. They've only scored 7 goals in 6 weeks.
Yeah, they have such a weird team. I mean, they have a lot of guys that are kind of getting towards the wrong end of 30 in their team, so I don't really get where they're going with this team at the moment, but they were up there last year and they'll certainly be good. They may be good enough for fourth, but in this game they didn't really have many opportunities despite all the possession.
When you have Ben Yedder starting on the bench, and Ben Yedder is their best forward, scored 18 goals last season, you have Correa on the bench, who I think needs to be starting for them. Luis Muriel really was not good. in particular when he had a 1v1 versus Oblak and Gabby made a last-ditch tackle on him, which was a huge moment in this game. You have a midfield. They were playing 4-3-3, and all three of their midfielders were 28 and older.
Right.
So it's a weird mix of guys. There's talent there, and I think Barita will eventually get it to click. I think by the time we see Sevilla in January or February, I think this is going to be a different team. But right now, still off to a good start, but the store didn't really see what the plan is.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not really coming together. I mean, they signed Jesus Navas. They also signed Nolito.
Yes, Nolito wasn't even in the team.
Yeah, he didn't even make the bench. So those are two kind of older wing players that have experience, but are they still that good? I think Nolito's still okay, but Jesus Navas has been just nothing for the last few years. It's fast, and he runs in straight lines, but that's about it.
Let's talk about Atleti's side, meanwhile, and the 11 that Simeone picked. More rotations, Rob. I'm so excited. More rotations.
Yes.
Yay, rotations.
We said it all summer. We were stressed about it. We didn't think that he would do it, and he has been. I mean, to me, the biggest surprise was that Savage and Lucas were the starting center backs, and Godin was on the bench. You'd think, normally, for a big game like this, there's no question Simeone starting Godin, but he trusted those two enough, and they did a really good job, you have to say.
You know that Simeone is confident when he's not even starting Godin against Sevilla. He was confident about this one.
Because Godin's just his rock in the defense.
Yeah, and like a year ago, you couldn't even imagine that Godin would sit for this game, and he did. He got the rest, and they're going to get him ready for Chelsea on Wednesday. Savage and Lucas, they were the center backs, and I thought Savage was actually very good. Lucas was excellent. Savage, I thought, put in an underrated performance. I tweeted out a couple of things this morning about it. 8 clearances, 4 blocks, both led the team. Just a big performance. He got a chance to lead, and he took it.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty clear. You know, we've been saying it for a long time. If you give Savage a center back partner that's fast and can make up for mistakes that he makes sometimes, like Lucas, then he'll be all right. And he is. When he doesn't have to make that many movements, then he's fine.
Exactly. Right. When Savage can just like stay in like one or two places, then that's where he's at his best. I mean, you saw Lucas making these dynamic attacking runs. You saw Lucas, completing 96% of his passes and taking kind of the chances, getting into positions that Savage would not dare venture into. Like, I only had to yell at Savage once to get back into position in this game.
Yeah, exactly. And often you see him just chasing after someone right. Hopelessly.
Right, I saw him, on the right flank at one point in the second half, like, Stefan, get back to the middle! Get back to the middle! And, like, that was the only time I had to yell at him.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that was good. Shime Rusalko back in the team as well. He looks like he's still dealing from... He got better as the game went on, but he looks like he's still dealing with the after effects of the ankle injury, possibly the knee injury he sustained 6 months ago against Sevilla in this fixture. What'd you make of his performance?
I think he did okay. I mean, I think since he hasn't even been in the team a lot of the times for the last few matches, I think it's clear he's still kind of working his way back. And, I'm fine with that as long as they're being careful with him. And this was his first start, I guess. Is this his first start of the season?
His second. He started second against Las Palmas.
Right. So, he's still getting back to full match fitness, you'd have to say.
Yeah, he...
I think promising.
It was promising. I mean, he had a fair amount of touches, 54 touches. Not a whole lot of passes. Not a whole lot of defensive action. He had a few clearances, but he's still working his way back. And this is a guy who's played effectively 3 games in the last 6 months. So it's going to take a little while for him.
Yes, I think so.
Felipe Luis was excellent, as usual. Hit the woodwork in the first half. Hit the crossbar, actually, in the first half. Atleti's English feed called it the cross piece.
There are some really, really great translations on the Atletico English account.
Quality.
You should treat yourself to it if you have not
If you're not following them, yes. Top-notch tweets.
Absolutely. The translations are spot on sometimes.
Off the cross piece, Rob.
Yes. We'll start calling it that, the cross piece.
The cross piece.
Felipe, it's so good to see that he's still just as good as he was last season, because he's hugely important for the team, especially when Frisalco's not there, because Juan Fran is, he has his problems. Yes, but he can't really go as fast as Felipe anymore, but Felipe's a top-notch creator, even as a left back.
I mean, and Atleti focus so much of their play on the left-hand side anyway that you need someone who can handle, you know, all that, maybe not pressure, but someone who can handle those responsibilities. And Felipe's it. We were worried he got hurt at San Mamés midweek, but it turned out he was totally fine. It was just precautionary. Played really well on Saturday. Midfield, this was interesting to me. Koke and Saul's heat maps, I looked at them after the game, and they were both afforded a lot of freedom.
Yes, they were. Koke kind of played a little bit further forward. If you kind of look at the average position maps, it's Koke sort of right in front of Saul and Gabby. So he played a little bit further forward. It was good to see him kind of have a little bit more of a freer role. But, you know, it's kind of the same old problems, is that there's not someone in that front line that can impose themselves and make those central midfielders' lives easier.
Mm. Yeah. With Koke in particular, I think he really improved in the second half when he started drifting more toward the middle. And he eventually would just pop up all over the place in midfield. But he kind of drifted more toward the middle after halftime, and that really improved Atleti's counterattacking. That really improved his creation skills. Saul was everywhere as well, but this has been worrying me for a couple games now. I want to see if you agree. I really want to see Saul in a more attacking role. He's been primarily a defensive midfielder this season, effectively. And that's not... He can do that. He can do that a great job in that role, but... He can also do so much as an attacking player.
It does limit him somewhat when he has to kind of make up for the defensive duties. But, you know, if you have a choice between him or Koke tracking back and defending, I'd rather it be Saul.
Yes.
It's a shame that you lose that offensive output from him. But, you know, there will be games when he's able to get a little bit further forward.
Yeah, I just kind of question why that has to be the case, though, because you have Gabby played really well in this game, too. You have Tomas, who looks like he's going to take over for Gabby at some point. You could argue he's already on that path. I just have to question why Saul is the guy you have to make a defensive anchor type of player, because he can clearly do so much more.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that the further things go this season, I think we may see games where he does get a little bit further forward. Obviously, in games where you need goal, he'll probably press a little bit more. But, you know, it's weird with him and Koke, because it just doesn't work with those two. You kind of have to have one or the other, which is such a shame. That bothers me immensely. I've tried to figure out how they can have them both, and it's in a three, but even still, that sacrifices one of Saul's best characteristics.
Yeah, it's something Simeone has to figure out. And yeah, Saul can just is such a good player. He can do well in any role you put him in, because he's just that good a footballer. But I really do think he's at his best when he's allowed that kind of freedom, kind of the freedom that Koke had, particularly in that second half.
Yeah, and hopefully he'll get a chance to take up a little bit of that responsibility. I mean, you know, I'm glad that we're seeing a lot of rotation, so hopefully we may stumble upon something that works really well. That's my best hope.
Yeah. What else from this relatively strange but overall good result, Rob?
Well, we got to see Diego in the stands. That was exciting.
Yes. Yes, Diego Costa was in the stands after passing his medical earlier Saturday. Great to see him back. He's going to be training next week. And Valencia have just gone ahead at Anoeta.
Because, they look better than they have.
Yeah, Simone Zaza.
But yeah, we love Diego. We're so glad he's back. I about bricked it that day. I actually looked on Twitter one morning and saw that he had signed. I was beginning to believe the day would never come.
I'd already kind of believed it, because I wrote that like scathing column the week before.
I mean, it was such a bad transfer summer from the just like being annoyed by transfer rumors point of view, because it was like clearly they have two targets that can be had, but then they just kind of messed around the whole summer.
Yeah, they really did. I had Ewan McTeer on earlier this week, and I asked him this question. I'm going to ask you this question now. Out of the three parties, Atletico, Chelsea, and the player himself, Costa, who handled themselves the best throughout this whole thing?
Oh, God.
It's a tough question, I know.
It really is, because Conte messed up. Costa messed up by kind of being a jerk about it. and Atletico, you know, also messed around. I mean, I don't really think anyone comes out of this looking that good. I guess Chelsea, because it was their right to hold on to him, but they weakened their negotiating position so early, it's hard to say they were justified in doing that. But, you know,
I mean,
it got sorted out eventually.
You say that, but Chelsea are still going to get $55 million plus for him.
Yeah, don't know. It's hard. That transfer fee is really kind of interesting to me because it could really, really go either way. It could look like a really big overpay if Costa doesn't have that many good years left without injuries. Or it could look amazing because he's, you know, a cut price on one of the best strikers in Europe. So, you know, it's a bit of a coin toss.
It's a cut price really only in this kind of economy, in this
particular in this crazy market. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, could you say 55 plus 10, an extra 10 in euros, so 65 million total if he hits all those variables, could you say that that's a good deal? Right now?
Right now? I mean, it doesn't look like the best deal for a player that clearly wanted to leave and the manager had no intention of keeping. I would have liked to have seen it be somewhere more around 40 to 45, but, you know, depending on how you rate Gonzalo Higuain, and I wrote about this in the official thing we put on the site when he signed, is that, you know, he was $90 million. Who do you think's better?
Hmm.
So, it's an interesting thing to think about. I would rather have Diego Costa personally than Gonzalo Higuain.
Yes, me too.
So, yeah, that can come down to your preferences, but I think that it could end up being a very good deal. Because these are generally the prime years of a striker. Their 27 to early 30 seasons are the best, generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Costa, looking at him, he turns 29 in a couple weeks. On October 7, he turns 29. He will be obviously training to get ready to go in January at that time. I'm not really sure how to put this, but is there a part of you that is, like, nervous that this actually could not go according to plan? Because it seems that there's this really, to me, idyllic vision that Costa's going to come in and solve every problem, and solve every one of Atletico's woes.
I think it's certainly possible, and I think that risk is always there when you sign a player to win now, when he's in the prime of his career and could very much fall off, and as well as a player that's had injury problems at this club before that hampered the club potentially from winning the Champions League.
Horse Placenta.
Yeah, exactly. Just worth checking that one out there. I mean, he hasn't been ravaged by injury at Chelsea.
He's had the hamstring niggles, though, that make you kind of nervous. He was healthy last season. He was brilliant last season. You know, scored 20 goals, led them to the league title. So, health, it's still a concern to me because he hasn't played in over 100 days. He's going to be training for 3 months, and then you throw him back into live action in January.
I think the best part of that is that he knows this team already.
Right. That's kind of, I guess, the saving grace, the silver lining, is that he's been here. He knows Simeone. Simeone knows him. You know, Koke, Gabi, Godin, Felipe, these guys are all still there from the title-winning team. He knows them. He knows how it works, which gives me more optimism than, say, you know, Jackson Martinez.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, who came in and knew nothing.
Literally did nothing. And right. I think that this is, I think of all the situations, this is what's best for Costa for his career.
Yeah.
And I think it could be really good for Atleti's as well, if he, you know, hits form in January and just starts scoring bags of goals. I mean, he clearly loves Atletico. So I think a motivated Diego Costa is a very dangerous thing.
And I think he is going to be motivated because he will have not played a competitive fixture for 6 months by the time he's registered. His spot, depending on if he plays for Spain between now and January, which he could feasibly. You're looking at a guy who is going to be super motivated to get to the World Cup and fight Alvaro Morata for that starting spot in Lopetegui's 11. And you have a guy who has wanted to come back to Atletico pretty much since he left, and now he's back.
I think the risk ultimately has to be worth it. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I think it will be because Atletico need him, and he kind of needs Atletico at this point.
I mean, who else were Atletico going to get, especially in this situation? Like, I wanted Belotti. If the transfer ban hadn't come down, I would have spent $100 million on Andrea Belotti.
And But yeah, exactly. That's 40 million more, and yeah, that's, you know, more. That's a big risk.
Yeah, and who else could you have gotten for that price? Aubameyang was probably going to go for 70, 80 million. Cavani was not going to leave Paris.
Yeah, I mean, you just, there aren't that many top strikers at the moment that are, you know, younger than Costa with as much of a proven record.
So considering the price, considering the need, considering the potential fit, you could argue feasibly that Costa was the best deal they could have gotten. Which is weird to say because they shattered their transfer record by over 15 million euros. Oh, close to 25 million euros, potentially.
Well, unless we forget, I mean, Alexandre Lacazette was signed. He was going to be an Atletico player had the transfer ban not happened.
You mean the Alexandre Lacazette who is still, according to his manager, adjusting to the Premier League? That Alexandre Lacazette?
Yes, that guy. Mm. He would be the guy. And I said it from the beginning when those rumors were around, I didn't think that he was the right guy to pair with Griezmann at all. I think, again, he was another similar guy to what Atletico already have, and Diego Costa is very much not that.
Yeah. I just kind of imagine Alexandre Lacazette sitting in a darkened room somewhere in, like, a flat in London with his head in his hands, you know, blaring Lil Uzi Vert, trying to recover from, you know, he had to sign for Arsenal instead of Atletico. Can you imagine that?
And just having to listen to Francis Coquelin talk to him the whole time. It's a nightmare. He's living in hell right now. His best friend, Francis Coquelin.
He's living in Gunner hell.
Oh, yeah. He's cuddled with Gunnosaurus right now.
Oh, goodness.
The greatest mascot ever.
But you can imagine, though, that the Costa-Griezmann pairing, Costiesman, it's potentially just awesome. You can
imagine. Oh, it's mouthwatering.
Yeah. Potentially Costa Correa next year.
Exactly. And that's the other thing. It's like, well, we kind of have a bunch of players that are like Griezmann, but we don't have anyone that's like Costa. So if Griezmann goes, we have Angel Correa, who looks like he's going to take a big step forward this season.
Yeah, it looks like he already kind of has. I mean, he only played about 35 minutes on Saturday, which he deserved more, but he nearly scored a goal again.
I mean, he's been electric every time he's come on, really, whether it's off the bench or starting. He's always injected a ton of pace into the game.
He really has. A mattress maker of the match before we move on to Chelsea.
I go for Carrasco. I think that opening goal kind of set it up for him. I don't know. It's tough. Felipe Luis is worth a mention as well.
I think I'm going to take Carrasco, but there were some really good performances in this game. Gabby played really well, I thought.
Yes,
Griezmann got a goal and played really well in the second half. Savic had a really good game. Lucas had a really good game. It's tough, but I'd say Carrasco stands out just a shade above those guys. Just a shade.
Yeah, Lucas has been so encouraging his last few performances.
Yeah, Felipe after the game was like, Lucas is awesome. He's a guy I try to learn from.
I'm so glad that he's getting the time that he deserves in this team because he could be a huge player this whole season.
Hey, Cholo had been promising for a few years that Lucas is going to get his time. He just needs to be patient, and this looks like it's now his time.
And he's loving it, too. I mean, yep. Lucas just looks so happy.
He looks so happy. He was doing the hotline bling with Griezmann after his goal yesterday. He looks so happy.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Let us move on to midweek and Chelsea coming to the Wanda Metropolitano. Huge, huge game for a couple reasons. Number one, it's the opponent. Number two, I think Atleti kind of have to win.
And the first home Champions League game in the Wanda.
Yeah. And it's against the team that's atop the group that I think a lot of people now view as favorites in the group. If Atleti have designs on winning the group, they should probably win Wednesday.
Yes. That would be something they should do.
Yeah, but Chelsea are right now in sensational form. They beat the stuffing out of Stoke on Saturday, 4-0. Alvaro Morata with a hat trick. He has been in incredible form. It's almost like if you give him a chance to start, he will do really well.
Yes, the Diego Costa replacement has been okay so far.
He's been pretty good. He's been quite good. Yeah. And
good for him.
Yeah, right now it looks like he is going to be starting for Spain because he's just been in irresistible form. Chelsea had a couple bumps early in the season, but they look totally fine now. They are scoring loads of goals. They're not conceding any. They look a lot like the team that won the title last year.
Yeah, and I think they're kind of a similar team to Atleti in a lot of ways. Obviously, the years following Atleti's title, they sort of stole a lot of our players and copied it and then won the Premier League. So, you know, not saying I'm saying, but you know what I'm saying.
You know, it's funny. Mourinho recalled Courtois, bought Felipe, and bought Costa that window, and now two of those players are back at Atletico 3 years later.
Yes, exactly, and Courtois is still good.
Yeah, Courtois is still really good.
So, yeah, I think it'll be a tough game. I mean, these are two teams that kind of play somewhat similarly. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I think they both have the potential to be deadly. I don't know if Eden Hazard is going to be available. That's key, because he's scary.
Yeah, he came off the bench on Saturday. He played about 20 minutes.
And I think he played midweek last week in the Cuppity Cup, whatever.
The Cuppity Cup. What's it called? The Carabao Cup, right?
Yeah, the whatever cup, the energy drink.
Oh, it's an energy drink. Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
It's like a Thailand energy drink. Upper-tier sponsors they got going on there for the Cuppity Cup. Looking good, looking good. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really good match. I'm very excited about it because these are two really good teams. Chelsea won the title last year. Basically, they were asleep at the wheel for a big part of last season, and they were just really good. Antonio Conte is great. We know this. So it'll be a tough one.
I will. I think it's going to be quite the battle between Simeone and Conte, because you have the flexibility of Conte's tactics, and you have just Atletico's extremely strong home record in the Champions League and the compact defense that no one has been able to score on. I mean, Atleti, since Simeone took over, they have conceded just 6 goals at home in the Champions League. That, obviously, those were all the Calderon, but that's an incredible record.
Yeah, and Atleti have been good against Chelsea in the Champions League, particularly when we knocked them out that year when it was Mourinho's team, the year they won the title and went to the final. That was a good one. Diego Costa scored, so... I wish we had Diego for this game.
The second leg of that tie was still one of the best games that Letty played that entire season.
Big time.
Yeah.
And big Adrian Lopez scoring a goal.
Still, yeah. I still watch that goal from time to time. With Martin Tyler's call on it.
Adrian Lopez is like, who is this dude?
Yeah, that was such a good performance.
Go
away to Stamford Bridge against a well-drilled Mourinho side and win 3-1 to go to the Champions League final, that's still an incredible performance.
And it can never be forgotten, the bounce of Diego Costa slamming his foot into the penalty spot like 50 times, complaining about
and getting a yellow for time-wasting and then burying the penalty against Mark Schwarzer.
Yeah, that was great. That was a great time.
As far as this game is concerned, I think Atleti are probably going to let Chelsea have the ball and dare them to break them down, which, I mean, we'll see what comes of that. But I think that's probably going to be Atleti's plan. You're probably going to see Chelsea at times reject possession. I could see a goalless draw coming out of this game, which is probably not a great result for Atletico. But I could see it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. They really need to avoid losing. And if they want to win the group, they have to win this one.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to finish top. They're going to finish top two anyway, because you look at Roma. Roma are not good. You look at Carabao. Carabao got thrashed by Chelsea in the first match day. So
yeah, I mean, I don't think there's really any question about the top three in that group. It's just in what order,
right?
Because Carabao is terrible.
Yes, and Atleti are going there after the international break.
Yippee!
Yeah, so excitement. Wow.
How is Azerbaijan in Europe? By the way, how does that work? I'm a bit confused.
The geopolitical realities, Rob. They seem arbitrary.
Complicated.
I'm in a political science course right now, so I'm using the terminology.
yeah, bust out some vocab words.
There you go. So, scoreline prediction for this exciting game on Wednesday.
1-1. Yeah, I think both teams will score, but I don't think that anyone will win.
All right, I'm going to pick an Atletico win, man. 1-0 Atleti.
Very good. I don't think it'll be very high scoring.
With a goal from... drumroll please, Sal, because it's the Champions League.
Oh, yeah, gotta be. He's got to score a beauty as well.
And he was great against Roma, so I think it's going to be Sal. I let him win 1-0. Morata hits the post a couple times, and Chelsea don't score.
All right, I'm good for that. I'm fully on board for that one.
Fantastic. All right, Rob, what else you got? Anything?
I think that's it.
Fantastic. I'll ask you to stick around for just a second while I do the sign-off message, but that is Rob Walker. You can follow him on Twitter at rwalk03, R-W-A-L-K-03. You can follow me, Jeremy Barron, your host, on Twitter at jbbarron, J-B-B-E-R-E-N. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/, you guessed it, Into the Calderon. Colchonero Chat, you can subscribe and listen to it on a variety of podcasting platforms, including iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Leave a rating and review on iTunes. It boosts our visibility on that platform. Also, Patreon. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/colchonerochat. Got a couple patrons signing up in the last couple days, so thanks to those delightful people for deciding to support Colchonero Chat. There are some pretty awesome benefits to becoming a patron. Find out what they are. patreon.com/ColchNarrowChat. We'll be back next week to talk Atleti and Chelsea and a bunch of other stuff. Until then, adios.